I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 8, 2009. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's subject, an article by Ray Comfort entitled, Why I Published a New on Origin of Species. When I discovered that the famous On the Origin of Species by Charles Darwin was in the public domain, I decided to publish it myself and write an introduction and give away copies of the book to university students in honor of the book's 150th year of publication. Ray, that is a lie. A creationist who hates Darwin would never publish a book to honor his most hated enemy. So right off the bat, you represent your faith by demonstrating the importance to Christians of honesty. He goes on, but when Kirk Cameron, my TV co-host on The Way of the Master, and I produced a short video clip explaining what I wanted to do and posted it online, we kicked a hornet's nest. A big one. Why are many atheists so angry? Well, Ray, let a skeptic publish a Bible with a special introduction like you did, and then even you might understand. He continues, why are they talking about book burnings, threatening to resist the giveaway, and rip out the introduction? Why was RichardDawkins.net encouraging people to collect copies and rip out the introduction? Professor Dawkins himself said that even though a lot of people seemed to be very worried about this, he wasn't worried at all. Why did he then tell Toronto University students to tear out the introduction? There have been more than 140 different editions of On the Origin of Species, many with special introductions. So what's the big deal with this one? If I am, as Professor Dawkins says, an ignorant fool, why are so many feeling threatened by what I've written? Surely the introduction will be ignorance and foolishness, and simply confirm the students' presuppositions that intelligent design isn't worthy of even a first look. Ray, believe it or not, I actually agree with you on this one. You are correct in that only the scientifically ignorant will read your introduction without busting into laughter. He goes on, there's a reason that they are deeply concerned. The introduction quotes Charles Darwin saying that blacks are closer to gorillas than whites and that natural selection has left men more intelligent than women. Ray, once again, the Christian God, if there is one, has to be rolling over on his cloud after hearing those lies. What is kind of stunning is that you can claim something that is so easily disproven. Why do you do that? Because you know your flock well. They never read their Bibles, so you know they will never take the initiative to look up and verify what you claim Darwin said. So you know you can tell them anything you want to. Continuing, it also has quotes from Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, showing Hitler's undeniable links to evolution. Ray, apparently you missed all the quotes in Mein Kampf showing Hitler's undeniable links to Christianity. He continues, of course, Hitler also used Christianity to further his political agenda, but my point is that Nazi Germany was the natural outcome of what Darwin called one general law. Ray, that is what is called quickly dismissing an embarrassing fact and hurriedly distracting the audience to other red herrings. He continues, Darwin said the law of natural selection is let the strongest live and the weakest die. Chapter 7, under instinct. Adolf Hitler put the theory of Darwinism into practice. Ray, Hitler didn't have to put the theory of evolution into practice. It is already the way the world operates, from the tiniest microorganism to the mightiest beast, and that includes humans. He continues, "The introduction also defines an atheist as someone who believes that nothing created everything, which is a scientific impossibility." Ray, even a high school student could recognize the obvious straw man argument here. Science does not make that claim. Only religious people believe that everything was created out of nothing, provided you add in an invisible magician. Also, an atheist is someone who does not believe in God. Their scientific beliefs have nothing to do with religion. You have redefined the word to mean what you need it to mean. So that, like everything else you have said, is also incorrect. He goes on, "Professor Dawkins believes that nothing created everything, and his belief is a big intellectual embarrassment to his followers." Ray, Dawkins does not believe that. It is you who believe that a floating vapor created everything out of nothing. And if you want to talk about intellectual embarrassments to followers, you should check out the way millions of Christians look at you. He continues, "Now anyone can get their own copy of the book on Amazon.com and read the introduction. But don't be fooled by the comments. No doubt they will be hijacked by atheists. When my book, You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, But You Can't Make Him Think, bumped Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion on Amazon.com in the atheist category, hundreds of angry atheists left scathing comments on Amazon.com and gave my book the lowest rating." Ray, maybe it is simply the case that your book sucked. He goes on, "So is this book going to be a backward step for science, as some have maintained? Of course not. Science is a wonderful discipline to which we are deeply indebted." Ray, if you really believe that, you wouldn't be devoting your existence to its destruction. He continues, "It will, however, be a backward step for the pseudoscience of Darwinian evolution, of which there is no empirical proof. But your beliefs about walking on water, virgin birth, resurrection of a corpse, and a global flood, all that is not pseudoscience? Exactly which field of science supports any one of those beliefs? As for empirical proof, without it, any scientific theory will be rejected. Therefore, evolution, being an accepted scientific theory, must be based on sufficient empirical proof. Therefore, your accusation is false." Ray goes on, "There are no species-to-species transitional forms in the fossil record. None." Ray, you can't see what you refuse to admit. He says, "I deal with hundreds of atheists every day through my blog." Well, Ray, it's too bad that the fear of eternal torture prevents you from ever being capable of learning from them. They have the knowledge to free you from the enslavement of your mind to an invisible ghost, but they cannot compete with the threat of eternal torment. Ray says, "So I can predict the response. It will be, of course there are fossils. There are millions of fossils, you unscientific idiot." Ray, that was wrong. They never should have called you unscientific. He goes on, "There are millions of fossils, but they are the fossils of God's creation and have nothing to do with evolution." Well, Ray, then why did God sort them neatly by complexity? Why do only microorganisms appear for billions of years? Then why did God put every single dinosaur fossil deep in the earth and all the modern animals on top of them? Ray goes on, Again, there are no species-to-species transitional forms in the fossil record. Ray, repeating a lie does not make it true. It just means you lied twice. He continues. That's what is called the missing link. It was missing in Darwin's day, and it's still missing today. Ray, it will always be missing because there is no such thing as a missing link. He continues, when believers in evolution protest that there are links between kinds, a close look at their evidence reveals small bumps on whale bones, proving it once had legs, or experiments with bacteria, or conjecture that modern turkeys were once dinosaurs. Sure. Ray, that's your answer? Sure? That's all you can respond with? He continues, the problem when arguing with those who believe in atheistic evolution, hold it, Ray. Atheism has nothing to do with evolution. They are two completely separate topics. He continues, is that they move goalposts by redefining atheism or evolution or the word species. Ray, you have been caught so many times moving the goalposts and redefining words that you now throw those terms back at skeptics without understanding what they mean. Redefining atheism could not possibly be moving the goalposts because, as I just pointed out, the two are not logically connected. Atheism has nothing to do with evolution. Scientists have not redefined the word species. It is you who keep trying to redefine the biblical word kinds to mean what you need it to mean. Ray goes on, from Darwin to Dawkins, they speak the language of speculation, continually using words like probably, maybe, perhaps, and could have. Ray, therein lies the main difference between science and religion. Science never asserts absolute certainty, while religion wouldn't be religion without it. He goes on, and Darwinism is as nebulous as a puffy cloud on a hot, windy day, forever moving, changing, and expanding, because its bounds are limited only by the fertile human imagination. Ray, it sounds more like you are describing your Bible. He continues, when we give away on the origin of species to university students, I want every one of them to make sure they don't stop at the introduction. I want them to thoroughly read on the origin of species. Ray, are you even capable of opening your mouth for air without lying? Who could possibly believe that? He says, when I read the book, I was very impressed with the brilliance of Charles Darwin. Okay, let's see a show of hands. How many people believe that one? Ray continues, if he was alive today, I'm sure that he would quickly rise to the top of Disney's Imagineers or earn big bucks as a Hollywood screenwriter for science fiction movies. Ray, I doubt that. If Darwin were alive today, he would be 200 years old and likely unable to hold any kind of job, except maybe in the clergy. He continues, among other things, Darwin noted that black bears swam for hours with their mouths open, catching insects in the water. He believed that if they kept their mouths open all day, every day, for a long period of time, that they would acquire larger and larger mouths until a creature was produced as monstrous as a whale. Chapter 6, Difficulties on Theory. Ray, science knows how bear-like creatures returned to the seas and evolved into whales. Whatever Darwin may have hypothesized is unimportant to the facts of evolution as we understand them today. He continues, students can read Darwin's own explanation as to why there is no empirical evidence for his theory, that all intermediate varieties have disappeared, just like the Mormons' golden plates that the angel Moroni supposedly gave to Joseph Smith. Ray, scientists have found them, by the millions. And that was a snide little jab you threw at your fellow Christians, who dare to differ from your own beliefs. Tell you what, when you produce the tablets that your God supposedly gave to Moses, I'll make sure the Mormons send you the golden plates. He continues, there's one big difference, though. Between the golden plates and the intermediate varieties, the Mormons say that only two golden plates are missing. Darwin says that millions of fossils, what he referred to as innumerable, are missing. After 150 years of desperate searching, the missing links are still missing. Ray, what a coincidence! After 2,000 years of desperate searching by billions of Christians, the same thing is true of your ark. At least the Mormons claim only two are missing. You can't even come up with a rudder. He continues, in Darwin's book, nothing is as God created it. Ray, you found another coincidence. In your book, After the Fall of Adam, the exact same thing is true of God's creation. He continues, instead, all of creation miraculously evolved, from the bear's mouth to the giraffe's tail. Ray, you're getting confused again. Miracles are only claimed in religion, never in evolution. He continues, for some reason, it has all reached the point of maturity during our lifetime, and after millions of years of redundancy, now functions as it was intended. Ray, how could you possibly know that? What evidence do you have that evolution has stopped? You have far exceeded your stupidity allowance. His final word, move over, J.R.R. Tolkien, Arthur C. Clarke, and J.K. Rowling. These three combined don't hold a candle to Charles Darwin. Most of their fans know that their writings were fantasy. Darwin's faithful followers don't. Ray, you believe in unicorns and talking snakes. You believe that you will live forever with an invisible ghost. Are you really in a position to be poking fun at fantasies when every belief you hold qualifies as one? And I pulled one comment off the internet. The writer, obviously one of the flock, writes, Ray Comfort is right, folks. Well done, Ray. Darwin did not prove evolution. Neither has Dawkins. The whole theory is a fabrication. Folks, it comes down to a person's lifestyle. There is no scientific reason to reject the Bible, but people love their sin. They don't like, thou shalt not. So they delude themselves into believing great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was a rock. Newsflash, you didn't come from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, folks. Creation is proof of a creator. You are made in God's image, and it is time to get right with him before it's too late and you realize that you've made a terrible mistake, one that you will not be able to correct. You'll spend an eternity in hell thinking about how could I have been so blind. Don't let that happen to you. Thank you. My final comment, that people who think like this actually exist is sad enough. The fact that the majority of America thinks like this is beyond sad. It's tragic. And now we move to the science segment. Studies suggest mighty T-Rex killed by lowly parasite. The famous dinosaur known as Sue, the largest, most complete, and best-preserved T-Rex specimen ever found, might have been killed by a disease that afflicts birds even today. The remains of Sue, a star attraction of the Field Museum in Chicago, possess holes in her jaw that some believe were battle scars, the result of bloody combat with another dinosaur, possibly another T-Rex. Now researchers suggest these scars did not result from a clash of titans, but rather from a lowly parasite. The infection in Sue's throat and mouth may have been so severe that the 42-foot-long, 7-ton dinosaur starved to death. The ailment the scientists propose felled Sue and other T-Rexes is trichomoniasis, also known as trichomoniasis. In birds, the disease is caused by a single-celled protozoan. Although some birds, such as pigeons, commonly host the parasite but suffer few ill effects, in birds of prey, such as falcons and hawks, the germ causes a pattern of serious lesions in the lower beak that closely matches the holes in the jaws of Sioux and occurs in the same anatomical location. It's ironic to think that an animal as mighty as Sioux probably died as a result of a parasitic infection. I'll never look at a feral pigeon the same way again. The researchers investigated the jaws of Sioux and 60 other Tyrannosaurus specimens. Nearly 15% of them possessed lesions that had previously been attributed to bite wounds or possibly a bacterial infection. The scars of combat among Tyrannosaurs and other dinosaurs are not uncommon, but differ notably from trichomonosis lesions. The holes the parasite makes are often neat and have relatively smooth edges, while bite marks are often messy, scarring and puncturing bone. Tyrannosaurs are known to have fought amongst themselves and sometimes even ate one another. The parasite may have been passed through face biting or cannibalism. We don't think it is a coincidence that a significant number of adult Tyrannosaur specimens show both face biting marks and evidence of a trichomonosis-like disease. Previous studies have shown that up to 60% of Tyrannosaur specimens display evidence of face biting. There is no known evidence of trichomonosis in other dinosaurs. This leads us to suspect that Tyrannosaurs might have been the source of the disease and its transmission in the environment. For the disease to cause such lesions in the bones of Sioux and other Tyrannosaurs, it would have to be at an advanced stage. The parasite typically concentrates in the back of the throat in birds of prey, where it leads to masses of dying tissue. As the lesions grow, the animal has trouble swallowing food and may eventually starve to death. These findings strengthen the many connections that research already suggests exist between dinosaurs and birds, with birds inheriting a similar or even the same parasite from their distant ancestors. The discovery gives us an insight into the dinosaur immune system. The response of Tyrannosaurs to this trichomonosis-like disease is almost identical to that found in living birds. These simple holes in Tyrannosaur jaws give us a dramatic example of an avian-like defense system in action. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Saudi Arabia, where Saudi court jails a man for sexual boasting. A Saudi Arabian man who boasted about his sex life on a TV talk show has been jailed for 5 years. Well, that'll teach him. Mazen Jawad was also sentenced to 1,000 lashes by a Saudi court on charges relating to immoral behavior. On the show, filmed in his Jeddah home, Abdul Jawad spoke about picking up women and displayed sex toys on camera. Extramarital sex is illegal in Saudi Arabia, one of the most conservative societies in the Arab world. Well, conservative is one word you could use. I could think of better ones. The 32-year-old father of four's interview prompted around 200 complaints from Saudi viewers and calls for him to be punished. Abdul Jawad later apologized, saying producers at the TV station had tricked him into some of his accounts. Abdul Jawad's lawyer said three friends who appeared on the show with his client had been given 2-year terms. Saudi Arabia uses a strict Islamic law code. People who break the rules face punishment, lashes or imprisonment, for drinking or non-marital sex. Correspondents say the rules are flouted by locals as well as expatriates, but almost everyone keeps quiet about it and hopes they will not be found out. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Luis Buñuel, born 1900, died 1983 at the age of 83. He was a Spanish-born filmmaker who acquired Mexican citizenship and worked in Mexico, France, and also in his native Spain and the United States. He is considered one of Spain's finest directors and also a significant director in the history of cinema. And now for the quote from Luis Buñuel. God and country are an unbeatable team. They break all records for oppression and bloodshed.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.